Welcome back to the 2 a.m. Book Review Club, where we stay up late talking about books or talk about books that made us stay up late. This week, we are continuing Mystery Marathon March, our mini-series where we are reading as many mystery books as we can during the month of March. Mystery Marathon March is also a reading challenge, so be sure to check out the link in the episode description if you're interested in participating in the official Mystery Marathon March reading challenge. Please note that the challenge is being hosted on the StoryGraph, so you will need to create a StoryGraph account in order to join the Mystery Marathon March Reading Challenge. And even if you don't want to officially join the challenge, you can also just participate informally, privately, unofficially, by reading a mystery book or two or three during the month of March. So far this month, I've read 6 mystery books, which is a lot. So this week, I decided to slow down and instead read just 2 mystery books. Based on my track record so far, where I have read mysteries that I've enjoyed, but I've also had a couple of disappointments. So, based on my track record so far, you will be pleased to hear that both of the mystery books I read and want to talk about this week are books that I enjoyed and am excited to talk about. I kicked things off this week with Everyone on This Train is a Suspect by Benjamin Stevenson, which is the sequel to Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone. I read Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone during the first week of Mystery Marathon March, and I found it to be fun and engaging, but a bit over the top in terms of how committed it was to the meta bit of being a mystery book written by someone obsessed with detective fiction, and also in terms of how graphic the violence got in certain places, which just wasn't what I was expecting based on the marketing and the cover. As I mentioned in the episode where I talked about Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, I hadn't really intended to read the sequel, but then I read the blurb and I decided to give it a shot because I am very easily persuaded by basic book marketing techniques. It's the main reason why I end up reading so much, because pretty much every blurb I read has the potential to convince me to read the book, and that is what happened in this case. Everyone on This Train is a Suspect follows the same protagonist, Ernest Cunningham, and this time he is invited to the Australian Mystery Writers Society's annual festival, which this year is taking place on a train. Ernest is excited about this opportunity, but he's also a bit nervous because all of the other authors participating in this festival are seasoned, proven, professional writers, and he feels like he's just a guy who got lucky with his debut book. He's worried about belonging, being accepted, fitting in, And in particular, he's worried about how he and his book are perceived by the other authors. We all know, of course, that at some point in the book, there's going to be a murder, and these mystery writers are going to have to solve a real-life mystery while figuring out which one of them is the killer. Having explained the premise, I think you can see why I decided to pick up the sequel. I love mystery books. I love books that have drama between authors. And I absolutely love mysteries that take place in mansions, on trains, basically any kind of mystery that takes place in an isolated location. I especially love when those isolated locations are luxurious. And the train in this story is essentially a luxurious getaway experience. The train winds through the wilds of Australia as the travelers watch the scenery go by and indulge in delicious meals and bottomless drinks. And I loved reading about that. There's nothing better than a murder mystery where the mystery-solving characters are able to take a break for a three-course dinner in the dining car or a refreshing drink at the bar. I know it's cliche, I know it's been done a million times, but I honestly will never get tired of it because, frankly, it's just a lot more fun than trying to solve a mystery in a bleakly realistic setting where you always have to worry about where you're going to get your next meal or whatever. So, I went into this book, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect, with a lot of excitement, with the expectation of having a really great time, and honestly, I think my excitement paid off. The real strength of the first book, Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, is that it's zany and quirky and unexpected. This high-octane, self-referential atmosphere where anything can happen and still feel inevitable. And that strength definitely carries over into the sequel. Like I said, I was partially here for the author drama, and Everyone on This Train is a Suspect definitely delivered on that expectation. There is so much petty bickering over what's real literature, who signed with which agency, who's a sellout, and of course, Goodreads reviews, because is it even a book about authors if Goodreads doesn't get dragged into it somehow? But what really surprised me is that I honestly think Everyone on This Train is a Suspect is a better book than Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone. Now, this is obviously about as subjective of an opinion as you can get, and I recognize that I hold this opinion at least partially because I like the premise of the second book better than I like the premise of the original book, but beyond simply the premise, I felt like Everyone on This Train is a Suspect just had a lot more emotional depth than the first book, particularly when you look at Ernest, our protagonist. In this sequel, Ernest struggles a lot with his own insecurities, his own preconceptions, the way he assumes things too easily. And he also struggles with his trauma from the first book, as well as the brand new trauma he acquires in this book. And I like that while he retains his glibness, his sarcastic quippiness, Ernest also learns to display some vulnerability, some emotional growth, especially towards the people he cares about. He's the same person, just a little bit more grown up, both as a person and as an author. And I think this book, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect, was just a lot more emotionally satisfying and emotionally well-rounded than the first book. And honestly, if there's a third book, I think I'm gonna read that as well. As far as the mystery goes, I thought that Everyone on This Train is a Suspect was, like the first book, intricately plotted and therefore kind of tricky to figure out. In the original book, Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, I went back and forth pretty much the entire book as to who I thought the killer was. But I had two strong possibilities in mind the entire time. Whereas in this book, Everyone on This Train is a Suspect, I had a really hard time pinning down a suspect until I was over halfway through the book, which was fun because I love when I have legitimate difficulty figuring out a whodunit. There are so many characters in this book who feel vaguely suspicious, but honestly, there's no one who truly stands out as a person who has the motivation to kill not just one, but two people, which makes for a mystery that really gets you to use your mind. And having finished the book, I would say that the most surprising part isn't actually who did it, but the very last couple of pages of the book. If you know, you know, but that twist really caught me off guard, and I thought it was a clever way to end the book. It really drove home that message that Ernest kept repeating throughout the book, and honestly, I was a little confused. I was like, why do you keep emphasizing this? And then I got to the end of the book, and I was like, oh, that's why. I will say that, kind of like the first book, there are a couple of things that I didn't really like about Everyone on This Train is a Suspect. One, there is again some graphic content, though not as much as the first book, which I appreciate, but also there's quite a bit of discussion about artificial intelligence, AI. The AI thing really bothered me personally, maybe because I am so sick of hearing about it IRL, and also because it dates the book so fast. Literally, the book came out last year, and some of the AI stuff is already dated, not even a full year later. But otherwise, I really enjoyed this book. I thought it was better than the original book, which is always a nice surprise when you pick up a sequel. And it was just fun, both as a mystery and also as a story. Even if you've never read Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone, I would recommend picking up Everyone on This Train is a Suspect. The other mystery book I read this week was All the Sinners Bleed by S.A. Cosby. And if I had to pick one word to describe this book, it would be heavy. Because, wow, this book was heavy. All the Sinners Bleed is about Titus Crown, an African-American sheriff in the small southern town of Caron, Virginia. By the way, I don't know that I'm pronouncing that right, the name of the town. It's the name of the guy in Greek mythology who ferries the souls of the dead across the Styx. And the book explicitly mentions that that is the etymology of the town name as well. But what I've noticed about town names is often they are pronounced differently than the source from which they're derived. So I'm not entirely sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but there we go. It's the small southern town of Caron, Virginia. One day, Titus discovers a shocking secret about a beloved high school teacher, which leads him on a frantic quest to find a horrendous serial killer who is hiding in their midst. The thing about this book is that I cannot emphasize enough how dark it is. It literally opens with a school shooting, and that is honestly the least disturbing scene in this book. Any and every true crime trigger warning that you can imagine is applicable to this book, and it honestly makes for a reading experience where you have to put the book down every so often and just breathe. All the Sinners Bleed is a book that makes you feel all kinds of dark, depressing, hopeless feelings, and yet it's ultimately a book I still enjoyed, if that's the right word. And I think that the reason for that largely comes down to the characters. All the Sinners Bleed centers, emotionally at least, on Titus and his family. They are the emotional core of the book. And the emotional journey that they go on over the course of the story is so touching because they are finally putting to rest their grief over Titus's mother's untimely death. I loved all of the scenes that featured Titus's family, not least because I knew it meant that we were getting a break from some of the more graphic content. I loved getting to see him interact with his family, and I really loved that it wasn't always easy or smooth for Titus to define or deal with his emotions towards his family. I liked that his feelings towards them are complicated because their situation is so complicated. But at the end of the day, despite the complexity of his feelings, he still chooses to move on and love and cherish them. And I thought it was really sweet. There are plenty of action sequences, but my favorite scenes were the ones where Titus would sit down with his dad or his brother and allow himself to just be, to not be the sheriff, but instead just be Titus. Titus himself is a character with a lot of complexity and nuance because he believes so deeply in justice, in upholding law and order, but he also recognizes the injustices that are inherent in the institutions that he's upholding. He says that he's trying to change the system from the inside, but what does that actually mean as he's going about his day-to-day job, his day-to-day life? It means that sometimes there are split-second decisions that he can't foresee. It means that there are times that he has to accept the unacceptable. It means that sometimes there are no right answers, and this is something that he struggles with throughout the entire book. But really, I think what sets this book, All the Sinners Bleed, apart and makes it so memorable is that it's not just a mystery or a thriller, it's a fictional book about crime. And to be honest, I've always been kind of confused about the difference between books that are categorized as mysteries or thrillers and books that are categorized as being about crime, because aren't most mysteries and thrillers also about crime, right? But I actually think that reading All the Sinners Bleed really helped me to put into perspective the difference between these two types of fiction. Take, for example, the first book that we talked about in this episode, which was Everyone on This Train is a Suspect, right? That is very clearly a mystery because the central question is simply who committed the murder and why. But in a crime book like All the Sinners Bleed, the central question is not just who is this terrifying serial killer, but it's also What creates a killer like that in the first place? Crime books are not just interested in the who and the how of crime, but also in why crime exists in the first place. In All the Sinners Bleed, there's a lot of focus on and discussion of the history and present day issues of this specific small town in which the story takes place. The killer has been created out of all of the hate and injustice and bloodshed that has always plagued this small town. And so Titus isn't just unraveling a mystery, he is also unraveling everything that is wrong with this place that he knows and loves so well. Like I said, All the Sinners Bleed isn't an easy read by any means. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. And even as someone who routinely reads disturbing stuff, both fiction and nonfiction, I found it hard to get through at times, but ultimately for me, and this was a personal choice, right? I want to emphasize that. I'm glad that I did push through my discomfort because I thought this book had so many interesting things to say, and also because it ended up being bittersweet and also emotionally satisfying. But again, I recognize that this is not a choice that many or most people are willing to make, and that's fine too. All right, so those are the two mystery books that I read this week, and I'm really glad that I enjoyed both of them. That makes 8 mystery books I've read so far for Mystery Marathon March, and I guess we'll see how many more I'm able to read next week. Again, if you'd like to join the official Mystery Marathon March reading challenge, the link is in the description. But you can also just play along at home by reading some mystery books during the month of March. And that's going to be everything for this episode. This has been the 2AM Book Review Club. Thanks so much for joining me, and I'll be back next week at 2AM. Until then, have a great week, and happy book travels.